John Cohen, welcome back. There was some discussion today about something you really don't hear much about at these conferences, and that is a cure, specifically what Tony Fauci, an American researcher, of course, called a functional cure. What did you hear today?
Well, today was kind of future day at the meeting. There were a lot of futuristic talks about possibilities. And cure has become the C word in HIV because it's such a dream to many researchers, certainly, that that could ever happen. But what Fauci was talking about is the possibility of knocking HIV back far enough, not completely removing it, but far enough that you essentially might not need drugs. So you could live with it for a long time and be all right. The biology of HIV, can I give you a little bit of the biology?
Give it a shot.
It helps. When you take these drugs and they work, it knocks the virus down to the level of detection. In other words, they have tests that can go in and say, well, you've got so little virus, we can't see it. But it doesn't mean you don't have any virus. You do have the virus. Everyone who's ever been tested, who's had undetectable virus, if you look harder, if you test more of their blood or use a more sensitive test, you do find the virus. But the virus you find, it turns out, is inside of cells that are essentially sleeping. They're sitting there, they're long-lived cells. They can live for years with the virus and never produce any. And then maybe you get infected with influenza and they suddenly spit out some virus. They get turned on. So the question is, how do you get rid of those long-lived cells that are sleeping? And Fauci's lab has worked on this, as have many others. And there was a really intriguing talk this morning by Bob Silicano from Johns Hopkins University that introduced a new idea about how to get rid of these cells.
And that idea is?
Well, a lot of people for a long time have believed that if you could wake up the cells and get them to spit out the virus, then you get the drug in there and you'll get rid of them. That'll work. Because once the cells wake up and start producing virus, they die. So you just got to wake them up and get them to spit out the virus, drug comes in, mops up, you're okay. To date, everything people have tried to wake up the cells have been pretty crude tools, like using chemicals, biochemicals like interleukin-2, that wake up a whole bunch of different cells, whether they have HIV or not.
And what is Silicano doing?
Well, what Silicano did was he made, in the test tube, one of these sleeping cells infected with HIV. So now his lab, and I suspect others, will start testing different agents to see whether they can find one that specifically wakes up those kinds of cells and leaves the other ones alone.
And I've asked you this earlier in the week about other issues we've talked about. Timetable.
Oh.
Years.
Well, no.
Decades?
The nice thing about this is if this test that his lab has developed is robust, which other labs can pretty quickly decide in, you know, months, they can have an agent identified, I would guess, a year from now, or even less than that. They could come up with an agent that they can start to test. Then getting to the answer takes longer. And what you really want to do is catch someone within the first few weeks of infection. Because what happens is, when you're infected, you start making a reservoir of these latently long-lived cells. And that reservoir gets bigger and bigger and bigger the longer you're infected. But if you've been infected for 5 weeks, let's say, your pool, your reservoir, is pretty small. And then if you give this agent, this theoretical agent that can wake up those cells, you don't have to wake up as many of them. And then maybe you can get to that dream of eradication. Or at least shrink that reservoir. And that's what functional, that's what Fauci was getting at. Shrink that reservoir to the so that it's really not a big enough pool to make that much of a difference.
Moving on, also under the topic, though, of this being future day, there was discussion about how leaders need to keep in mind that this is dynamic, that the epidemic changes, and they need to stay ahead of it.
Yeah.
In what ways?
Yeah, well, people tend to think about, oh, this place has this kind of epidemic.
It's fueled
by injecting drug users. In many, many countries, including the United States, in the early days of epidemics, you see injecting drug users or the first wave, and you see men who have sex with men, part of the first wave. And Thailand is a good example of this. It's now the largest group of infected people getting infected are married women. You know, and That's a big shift. And in Africa, you're seeing countries that now have epidemics that are largely injecting drug users. And people will say, oh, there's no injecting drug use in Africa. But it's not true. In some places, it's being introduced and really driving things. In China, men who have sex with men are becoming a bigger and bigger part of an epidemic that many people think of as an injecting drug use epidemic.
And is there concern here that government programs treat what was the picture yesterday and not what may be the picture
absolutely
tomorrow?
Yeah, that's the real problem, is that you've got to keep looking ahead. And if you're not looking ahead and anticipating that change, you're going to be behind the eight ball.
Drug resistance is something also that was discussed today with an eye towards the future.
Yeah. Everyone knows that people on treatment develop resistance to the drugs. And the better drug combinations you have, the less likely you are to develop resistance. But what we do in wealthy countries is we routinely check people with a test called a viral load test. It checks how much virus you have in your body. If you're undetectable and you suddenly go up to a detectable level, maybe your drugs aren't working anymore. Maybe you've developed resistance. Well, in most of the world, they can't afford this test. They don't do it. They don't monitor closely like that. So the concern is that in much of the world, these 3 million people in middle and low income countries who've started treatment, they're going to develop drug resistance. It's not going to be detected until they have clinical symptoms. And then their next line of treatment, their second line regimen of drugs, won't be as effective as it would have been had they detected that resistance earlier. So that's the big fear.
Winding up, I want to ask you a question that a viewer from Thailand sent to us. Are you hearing any fallout from the AIDS Healthcare Foundation's call for dropping HIV vaccine development funding, which happened back in March? Or is it, he asks, a dead issue?
I think in this community, it's largely a dead issue, but it angers people here. And it's been rumbling around here because people talk about funding issues and people talk about, is it worth it? But you know, everyone in this field, in the field of AIDS vaccine research, they know they're in for the long haul. They don't think that a failure is a failure. They say this again and again, it's their mantra. If you can learn from a failure, it's a success. And so to them, it's sort of a naive view of what research is. And you know, I think sometimes that the way people outside of the scientific field look at things is like if a woman is trying to get pregnant and she's having trouble, and saying to her, when are you going to have a baby? When are you going to have a baby? When are you going to have a baby? Well, the answer might be never, but it might be next year. You know, you don't know. You keep trying, and you try to learn from your failures.
I know I said that was the final question, but it wasn't. I do have one more, and that is the impression that both you and I have this week, more so than at any other conference, that this is becoming less and less a venue for the revelation of true scientific news hot off the press. What is it morphing into?
Well, it's morphing into, and it has been for years, more of a social, political, community get-together, networking, but cutting-edge research. It's pretty hard for me to find it here, and it's becoming harder with each conference I attend. This is my 12th one. It used to be just filled with, you know, newsy, cutting-edge research everywhere I turned. But it's not what it is now.
And where is the U.S. role in that?
Well, the U.S. government funds more AIDS research than any single entity.
Right.
And its own National Institutes of Health has a lot of AIDS researchers. But the department that it falls under has a strict limit on how many researchers they can send to the meeting. It used to be they sent hundreds. And this year, it's 50. So even like Dr. Fauci was saying to me that he sent zero people from his lab. So that's not the cause of this.
It's one piece of the
story. It's one piece of it, yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much, John Kellen from Science Magazine.